Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Hello, and thanks for joining me here on this edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast. Right now, I'm recording this late morning, Halloween 2024, from a beautiful, sunny, noisy Chiang Mai, Thailand. We've got the moped repair shop across the street. After the floodings we've had here, there's been quite a few mopeds that have needed serious repair. They still have a pile. We're about 2 weeks from the floodings, and they're still quite a bit backed up over there. And then we've got the Muay Thai school on the other side of me issuing key highs, hoy, hoy, about three times a second. It's a busy time here, but it's a beautiful time here and enjoying it. And for those of you on video, you can see my two trusted assistants, Ling Shu and Ling Dao, the two Siamese cats, right there on my left on the couch. So thanks for joining me. Today's podcast is entitled The Heart, Soul, and Bones of Recovery. And this is one of those phrases I've been playing around with, the heart, soul, and bones. And I'll be going into all kinds of detail, I'm sure, on future episodes. But right here, right now, in this episode, we're dealing with the heart, soul, and bones of recovery. And we'll start with this question. Regardless of where you might find yourself in the process of recovery, in the path of recovery, whether it's the beginning, you're looking to make that leap into sobriety, or whether you're in early recovery, and or maybe you have some time under your belt, regardless of the years under there, we all hit plateaus. Regardless of where you find yourself, have you ever found yourself wondering, feels like something's missing? And for me, I felt this right in the beginning when I was searching for different methods. And, you know, there are a lot of modern, effective approaches, therapies out there that work. And they deliver the usual next right things to do pretty reliably. And that's what they're built for. And they also don't speak to this other thing that's missing, because this missing is kind of a inner gnawing. That's how I liked to describe it, where it arises from inside, and it doesn't get satiated by the approaches that I tried, the thinking approaches, let's say, for example, which will lead into this next section. I'm going to, again, try to follow along my structure that I have in the written post. So this spiritual component that was missing, there's that recovery saying there's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Okay. You can't take a pill to fix this spiritual problem. I propose a step further, and there's no thinking solution to a spiritual problem, which is what, you know, we're good at here in the West, in the modern age, which is that we think a lot and we spend a lot of time in facts and logic. And this is why it doesn't satisfy that craving of something is missing. And the only thing that will satisfy it is a spiritual solution. So, what exactly is a spiritual solution? How do we obtain one? And how does that apply to recovery? Okay, in order to answer those questions effectively, let me go a little more into detail about an elephant in the room sized problem, which I just alluded to, which is our thinking here in the West. So, here in the West, we believe that we do not have the ability or the right to establish and maintain a direct relationship with our helping and compassionate spirits. Centuries of religious persecution have told us that engaging in direct revelation with spirit is wrong, bad, weird, or impossible. Compound this by our modern age's replacement of spirit for science's true facts, and it's no wonder that we have an ignored and atrophied spirit muscle. Then on top of all this, we are told by experts, quote unquote, that we need them to be our intermediaries. This way, they can stand between us and the divine to safely deliver and more accurately interpret the information, and so that we don't get led astray. This is all a lie. I'm going to recap those three paragraphs I just read. Here in the West, we don't believe we have the ability or the right to have a direct relationship with spirit. On top of that, we have centuries of religious persecution telling us this. It's wrong, bad, weird, right? We come up with all kinds of names with people who propose that they have spiritual solutions and that they do engage with direct revelation and communication and relationship with spirit and the divine. We have all kinds of names. So that's impossible. So they must be, yeah, that's a pretty good trick that religious persecution has imposed. And then you have the newest religion, science, which has quote unquote true facts, which change every few years, which is pretty interesting. Topics for other days, right? Now you throw all that on the pile, and the cherry on top is the experts. Whether this is a religion and or a guru expert of some type that tells us we need them to stand between us and the divine. Well, it just makes sense, right? In the last podcast, I talked about how we hand over our power. This is that same idea of handing over our power to the expert, in this case, the spiritual expert. This is all a lie. Every one of us has the right and the inherent human ability to receive knowledge, information, and healing power from our compassionate and helping spirits. That's just the way it is. So, how do we go against this tide of false messaging and receive these benefits as a spiritual solution to our addiction? Well, here's what I believe we need to do. Stop searching, start trusting. Trust the truth that you already know. This is what speaks to your heart, touches your soul, and resides in your bones. Heart, soul, and bones, what speaks to your heart, touches your soul, and resides in your bones. I'm telling you, we all have this inherent human birthright to be in direct communication in relationship with spirit. And this is what it sounds like, feels like, and knows. Because when we trust that we do have this inherent human ability, we begin to be able to hear what speaks to our heart, to feel what touches our soul, and to understand what resides in our bones. It is that simple. Simple but not easy, right? As that saying goes. Because we're going against the grain. We've been going against what we've been programmed. We're going against what we've taken on as our personal and societal beliefs. And you hear me talk about very often, what at the core of addiction are our limiting core beliefs. And this is one particular one. I don't have the ability or the birthright. Being in communication with spirit is weird and impossible. That belief will manifest as you not being able to be in communication with spirit, and it will manifest in some kind of way as this gnawing messaging trying to speak to your heart, trying to touch your soul, and arising from your bones, your ancestors from your bones, the spirit that they encoded in your DNA from your bones, letting you know that that is wrong. You do have this ability. You do have this right. Let's go about getting it. Well, where do we begin? How do we even start this process? Let's start at the beginning, of course. And I have a story that is found and claimed by many religious traditions, many beliefs from all continents all over the world. And I love it when there's this kind of similarity, like what's being popular right now is Graham Hancock talking about the floods. This is a for example. You can find him going on many different podcasts. He's making the rounds because he's got a new Netflix special about the apocalypse part two. And there are all of these flood stories. Interesting. Found by all these disparate cultures. Again, I love this when there's no quote unquote logical explanation that we can explain into hard fact. Anyway, here's the story that pertains to today's episode podcast. It's not the flood. We'll get to that a different time. This one is about the beginning of time. And I'll use a Christian slant on it. We'll use God and angels and that kind of thing. So in the beginning, after God created the universe, created man, created earth, he was sitting back with his angels looking upon this. And he says, yeah, I got an idea. And God says, you know, I want to make myself known and available to these pesky little humans, but I don't want to make it too easy. I want to make them work for it. But I do want to make myself available for them to be able to achieve truth, the answer, communion with me. Hey, angels, where's a good place for me to hide? What do you think? Angel number one pops up and goes, you know, I got an idea. We could bury you deep in the earth. God thinks about that a minute and goes, you know, I've hidden a lot of good treasures deep in the earth, and they're going to be mining and digging around, and I think that's going to be too easy for them. Thanks, number one, but you know, we need to up it up a little bit. Angel number two says, I got it. We'll put you on the moon. Number two, that's better. But you know what? They're going to be flying around in no time. They're going to get up there. They're going to be exploring space. I think we may need to make it just a little bit harder. This stumps the angels, and there's a long silence. And in my version, from the back of the room, angel number 13, you know what? I've got it. Let's put you in their heart. They'll never look there. Brilliant, God exclaims, like Harry Potter. Brilliant. I love that exclamation that the English have. Harry Potter. We have English Harry Potter God. Brilliant. That's a great idea. Well, hide me in their heart. It's a perfect hiding place. They'll never look there. So there's the story. You may have heard it before, probably not in that kind of slanged colloquialisms, but it's the same point, right? The answers are within. The kingdom of heaven is within. God is hiding within each of us, within each of our hearts. And we need to make the journey inward. Well, what stops us from making that journey? Number one, we don't believe we have the ability. Number two, we don't believe we have the birthright. And using this metaphor of the heart, there is all of our heart brokenness on the outside, protecting us, giving us defense mechanisms, ego, all of those things that prevent us another, give us another layer that prevents us from easily accessing the God, the truth hiding within. So, one of the ways that we can go about getting through all of this is, for me, what I use, the shamanic journey. And this particular shamanic journey that I'll introduce to you here today, and I think I'm going to leave the journey. I'm going to put the journey on the podcast. I'm not going to put it right here in the middle because for those of you driving and or operating heavy machinery, right, as they say on the cautions of medications from my day, I don't know if they still say that. Do not operate heavy machinery. Do not attempt to drive. Yeah, don't do that. So I'm going to put the journey at the end of this podcast, so that those of you that are driving or operating heavy machinery, you don't have to deal with 10, 12, 15 minutes of me doing a guided journey. It will be the journey that is from the program that you can get for free when you subscribe to the Sober Shaman on Substack, whether it's the pot, you'll get the podcast and the posts and the program and the guide to the Sober Shaman's guide to the shamanic journey when you become a member for free. And in the program, the journeys like the one I will be leaving here, the journey to your broken heart, are non-denominational. I do not propose them as shamanic journeys. And they are guided so as to not infringe upon any particular addiction treatment center that I was employed by, if they had a particular approach, and to appeal to a wide-ranging audience. For example, those who did not want to undertake the journey as a spiritual endeavor. I dealt with successfully many atheists and or agnostics, but let's just go with the atheist or particular very hard believing religious people who, if I say this is a spiritual endeavor, a shamanic journey, it would immediately turn them off and they would not do the work and not receive the benefits. So that's a long way of saying the journey is set up as a guided endeavor for non-denominational and everybody, regardless of your beliefs. And even atheists can undertake this as a psychological endeavor. And the way it's worded does not step on anybody's toes. Nowadays, I don't have to worry about that, and I get to call my work the Sober Shaman. So it is spiritual for me because this is the component that generally tends to be missing. So, therefore, what if? What if you undertook this as a spiritual endeavor? Whether or not you call it a shamanic journey, it could be a spiritual journey that fits within your belief structure. That's the beauty of the kind of shamanism that I practice and that I'm very glad that I was taught, is that it's all, again, like the focus of this podcast. It's your relationship with spirit. You do not need me. You do not need a guru. You do not need anyone to stand between you and the divine. It's your birthright. So let's pump up your ability to go on the journey. And maybe you are at the point of just needing permission. Here's the permission to undertake the journey as a spiritual endeavor. See what you get. See what happens. Meet your compassionate and helping spirits, your higher power, the part of you that knows the truth. However you want to frame that part of you that is your spirit going in relationship with these other spirits. However you want to use a language that works for you. So that's my preamble to the shamanic journey, which you'll hear me say in different ways, but those are the basics. And for this episode, I'm going to keep hammering. The point is, what if you did have the ability? What if you do have the birthright to have direct revelation from spirit? What would you get? Oh, Randy, that's just my imagination. Fantastic. What's your imagination telling you? Especially in this day and age, and I feel a whole episode on this subject, we're losing the ability to imagine. When the printing press was invented, we lost oral tradition because we could write it down. Well, now in the tech age, hey, Google, what's a good story? How do I fill in the blank of? We're losing our ability to imagine. So it's like, I think we're at an interesting tipping point, or maybe we haven't gotten there yet, but I think we're rising fast to it. Randy, it's just my imagination. God bless. What does your imagination say? Just like after the printing press, when oral traditions were being lost, there was this magical ability to be able to recall whole stories. Like we look at people today who are storytellers. And like any other ability, you practice it and you get good at it. But we look at them in awe. Yeah. Because they can remember, because they do remember, because they are able to convey this intangible, the story, in a way that lands in your brain and makes little pictures and conveys meaning, purpose, maybe passion, instills inspiration in you. Wow, that's magical. You don't necessarily get that on a quick scroll through a post on an Instagram inspirational saying for the day. Maybe you do, but it doesn't feel like the same thing. All right, I'm sugarcoating it. It is not the same thing as receiving direct revelation, direct experience. One of the sayings for the sober shaman, I've been saying it for years, right? Experience changes belief. It takes a new experience to change an old belief. And by undertaking the journey, by saying, what if? All right, I'll journey to my broken heart. You don't need me to explain to you the feeling you experienced when the pictures in your head, my imagination, or when you went to non-ordinary reality as a spirit and saw what your broken heart appeared as in the upper world, the lower world, the spiritual component to the middle world. What did your broken heart appear as? What needed to be done about this? What was the messages that you need to know right now about your broken heart? What did your helping and compassionate spirit, higher power, tell you needed to do about it? Right there in non-ordinary reality. Did they help you with it? How'd that go down? Is there any component of the messaging and or the doing in the repair of your broken heart that needs to be now taken back with you from non-ordinary reality, brought back here into ordinary reality, into your daily ordinary reality life, and implemented and put into practice? Do you need help doing this? Who can help you with this? From non-ordinary reality, maybe there's spirits that can help you with this. And in ordinary reality, maybe there's guides, maybe there's therapists, maybe there's community, maybe there's practice that you need to implement to do the next steps to heal your broken heart. I just rambled off a bunch of questions. I didn't read it, but I will include the questions from the journey as it's in the program. Maybe I'll just put the PDF as a downloadable. If you go to the Substack post, you'll be able to hit it there and look at the whole lesson, which does include all of these questions that I just rambled off the top of my head, and there's probably a few more that apply to the shamanic journey to your broken heart. So I will make the guided audio file available to you if you're listening to this on a podcast, as well as something that you can access directly from the post on Substack. And I'll make the PDF available to you as something you can access as a link from the post on Substack. And as always, when you subscribe to the Sober Shaman, the newsletter on Substack, you will receive the Sober Shaman's Guide to the Shamanic Journey, as well as the entire program, which does include the journey to your broken heart. So, in summary, the shamanic journey is just one way of accessing the realm of spirit. It's a reliable, repeatable one that I like to use for myself with clients also. If it works for you, by all means, like anything else, practice makes mastery. And the beauty of this for me is And this is a personal take. It's not necessarily a cumulative mastery. It's like playing music was for me, in that it's a Forrest Gump box of chocolates. Every time I go on a journey, I personally enjoy the surprise. I enjoy the adventure. There are no two journeys to my broken heart that appear the same. As a matter of fact, I've done this particular journey. This was a standard one that I would use in treatment centers pretty regularly. Because, of course, people would be there 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. I couldn't get all 52 journeys in there. So this was one that I wanted to make sure I got in. And it was part of the Masks of Addiction ritual that I had the honor and the great honor and pleasure of doing for 13 years at the Orchid. And this was an integral part of that. There were no two people that came up with the same broken heart in their journeys. So you have this complete uniqueness. And at the same time, addiction is predictable. You are unique. So there is this completely predictable component that our hearts kind of break in the same way, and we respond to pain in the same way. We respond to heart brokenness the same way. One of those predictable responses is addiction. And the heart brokenness, if we don't really look at it, like we do in this shamanic journey, and we really don't, okay, what needs to be done about this? Is there something I can do here? Is there something that needs to be done back in ordinary reality? How do I turn this into my daily practice? How do I keep moving forward with this? Like we did in the journey. If we do that, we really dismantle the cycle of addiction, and we take the power of the seeds that perpetuate the cycle from getting planted and growing into another full-blown cycle, at least in the same way. It can't when we take away this power from the broken heart. So, for many reasons, I love this journey, and I will suggest when you are ready, feel like it, please, by all means, undertake the journey. Send me your results. I always love hearing them. No two are the same, yet they're all the same. We are all the same. And not only in heartbrokenness, but as in the premise of this podcast, we are all the same in that. We have the ability, we have the birthright for direct revelation from spirit. We do have the ability and the birthright to answer that gnawing, something's missing, the spiritual. This fills in that blank. Randy, it's just my imagination. Fill in that blank with your imagination and see what you can imagine and come up with and turn it into a science experiment. Does it work? Because if it works here in ordinary reality as well as in your imagination, guess what? You've got something that works. Keep doing it. Drive that bus till the wheels fall off, as they say, right? If it's working, keep working it. You don't have to call it spirituality. And you'll still get the same results in foundational ways. And of course, there are differences for those of us who do this as a spiritual practice. from those of us who do it as a psychological endeavor, as opposed to those of us who are doing it as an imaginal endeavor. There are differences, and you will get different flavors, different languages, and different results. But for now, you know what? Good. Do it whichever way works for you and get results. And if they work, God bless. That's awesome. All right. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman podcast. I appreciate you listening. And like I said, I will include the full guided journey as part of the podcast that'll be coming up at the end here now after I say goodbye. If you are ready and want to undertake the journey, I would just say, if you haven't done a journey before, I'd suggest maybe taking a look at the steps of the Sober Shaman's Guide to the Shamanic Journey. Just, it's not a big deal, but make sure you have the right preparation and, you know, you're not driving, you're not operating heavy machinery, and you have a place set aside, a time set aside. You're not going to be interrupted, and you have something to write down your results immediately upon returning from the journey, very close at hand. All right. Please hit a little like wherever you're watching, listening to this. Go to the written version if you want to download the PDF and or see the entire program or the Sober Shaman's Guide to the Shamanic Journey. Subscribe. It's appreciated. Send me any questions, comments you have. Till next time, blessings.
Let's begin. Close your eyes and breathe through your nose. Pull the breath right between the eyes, the third eye, the seat of visualization and intuition. Fill the whole skull with breath. Soften the throat. Relax the jaw. Let it melt down. Drop your shoulders. Let gravity do its thing. And allow the arms to become heavy. And breathing all the way down into the bottom of your belly with no restrictions, no holding. Bring your awareness to the place between your shoulder blades and open the chest up to the rear. This takes a little practice, but really focus on opening your chest to the rear. Now expand the chest to the sides and let it open from under the arms when you breathe in. And naturally, now let the chest open to the front so that the chest is expanding and all four directions at the same time, like a balloon filling up smooth and evenly. In the center of this balloon, your heart. Breathe into your heart. From this place, from your heart, call upon, imagine, see your higher power or representative thereof for today. Look directly into its eyes, from your eyes to its eyes, and connect from your heart to its heart. Breathe into this connection. From this place, ask to be shown, to be taken to your broken heart. What does your broken heart look like? What kind of shape is it in? What exactly do the broken parts look like? How does this affect your heart? Who is associated with these broken parts? How so? If you do not know, ask your higher power representative thereof to show you. Is there anything that needs to be done about this, these broken parts? If you need help, ask your higher power representative to help you do it, and then go ahead and do it. After doing this, what about your heart changes? What can you do back in ordinary reality to make this happen? Send thanks into everything you've seen and done, and come back the way you've came. Feel yourself in your body. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Slowly open your eyes. And write down the answers to this exercise's questions.
Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.